So while the NFL Week 8 primetime schedule is... the college football schedule this upcoming weekend is originally before Saturday, even with no whiteout in Happy Valley, you're thinking, okay, Ohio State, Penn State. Yeah. Ohio State's a two-touchdown favorite in that game. I think the game of the weekend upcoming in college football is Texas at Oklahoma State. Texas beat Baylor this weekend. They're now 3-2. Oklahoma State is legit. If you've not seen Oklahoma State play, probably because they haven't played much. They've only played four games, but they've only allowed 48 points. If they go 11-0, they are a playoff lock. But they are really good defensively. That defense is for real. You take out a couple of long runs by Breece Hall on Saturday in Stillwater for Iowa State. They gave up under 4 yards per carry. They got the quarterback back. They've got an abundance of skill guys. But defensively, Oklahoma State in the conference is all about offense. They're 11-0. They're a playoff lock. I know Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama show up in a lot of top threes of playoff projections. We're waiting on Oregon. Notre Dame shocked the heck out of me this weekend. I thought Pitt would show more of a pulse. Notre Dame crushed Pitt, 45-3. We need to start talking about, well, if you have an interest in Pittsburgh football. I thought about taking, Pitt was an 11-point underdog. I'm thinking, you know what, they've lost a couple of games, but they've been tight. They'll bounce back. Notre Dame's having trouble in the red zone. Didn't think much of them the week before against Louisville. Now I think a lot about Notre Dame. That was an impressive performance. They won by 6 touchdowns against a team that quit on national TV. And Pat Narduzzi is in his 6th year at Pittsburgh. Where's the progress if you're a Pitt fan? Georgia's also in the mix in the playoff. But if Oklahoma State is 11-0, they are a playoff lock. They're impressive to me. I mean, Clemson is what they, you know, Clemson's still got, they're a little shaky on the offensive line, and I think Dabo Swinney is becoming unlikable. If you still kind of liked him, Dabo Swinney is getting to feel like what Nick Saban has felt like in questions about execution and how you should feel about a game. Syracuse, they were kind of choppy until they got going late. But Dabo Swinney was upset at the criticism. One of his players said the energy was not there. So one of the reporters asked him about that, and Dabo all of a sudden became defensive. Well, you're Clemson. There's a lot of expectations. That's what Nick Saban gets asked. And Dabo Swinney gave an answer that you're like, who is this guy? Well, he's kind of like Saban until Saban doesn't bristle at those questions as much as he used to. Nick Saban shouldn't bristle, even without Waddle. They lose one of the most exciting players in college football. Unfortunate. He returns kicks. He should. You should have your best players, your most electric players, returning kicks. The whole goal is to win a game. It happened. It was a freak injury. What do you do now? Well, they now have to find that third option to go with Smith. But when Mac Jones is throwing for 387 against Tennessee and he's part of a potent offense, I think you're okay at Alabama. Now, what about the Big Ten? As I said when we opened the show today, going back and on the second watch of the game on Saturday, Justin Fields was really good. Justin Fields is going to play on Sunday. I think you could get into an intriguing conversation about, would you rather have Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields as your number one pick? Because that race for the number one pick is getting a little bit crowded. Jacksonville came back to the pack. Jacksonville blew it against the Chargers yesterday. So you got the Jets, you got the Giants, you got the Jags that are all right in there. So Fields had his A game. I mean, Matt, you and I could throw to those wide receivers and we'd pick up some yardage. And it isn't just Wilson and Olave who are older wide receivers. Now they got a freshman who just made the catch of the year so far in college football. And they got 5-star wide receivers everywhere. Garrett was a beast. I mean, I think 92 was the best player on the field. And he's a guy that got shot in the face back at the beginning of August. But he had a tackle for a loss. He had a sack. I mean, he was a major, major problem. But I wasn't overwhelmed by Ohio State, but I understand it was the first game and you'd been off since December 28th. They still have the look of being one of the best teams in the country, and I have no problem with them being in the race for the playoff. But what about the rest of the Big Ten? Rutgers, Michigan State, we all went, watching that game. I think you could make a case. Some would look at the three quarterbacks that were in Nebraska last year that all played on Saturday. And who's your favorite? McCaffrey, Vedrill, Martinez. Vedrill looked good. Greg Schiano is a good football coach. He's tarnished a little bit from the Tennessee job that he had and then didn't have. Maybe the way the Ohio State defense played when he was there. But Greg Schiano is a good fit for Rutgers, and he's a good football coach. And let's be honest, they're playing a bad Michigan State team that is, Mel Tucker's got a massive hole. Rutgers was prepared. Hell, Rutgers didn't even put up their roster online until last week. Rutgers gave you every indication that they didn't want to play football. And they came out and, I don't know, it was good football. Michigan State helped them, gave up 38 points and 7 turnovers. But Greg Schiano is going to be, if that program is still in the range of winning 3, 4, 5 games a year for an extended period of time, then shut her down. Kansas and Rutgers just focus on playing basketball. But I think Greg Schiano is a good football coach, and he fits great with Rutgers. I thought Michigan State would win, but I took Rutgers and the points. Northwestern played another bad team. Maryland is awful. Matt, check the schedule. When does Maryland and Maryland and Michigan State play? Because Maryland didn't look like they wanted to play football. I've never been high on Mike Locksley. He wasn't good as a head coach as his previous stop. He went to Alabama. You go to Alabama, Saban rehabs your career, and you get another job.
It's going to be November 21st, and that's after Maryland faces Ohio State.
Great. Northwestern looked pretty good with a new offensive coordinator. Pat Fitzgerald learned a lesson that gets a lot of coaches in trouble, especially around here. You are loyal to a fault, and you wait too long to make a change on your staff. And some guys just don't have it. Fitzgerald waited a while to make a change with his offensive coordinator. He brought in a brand new offensive coordinator, and the returns were impressive. Granted, they played Maryland, but Northwestern looked better on offense, and they had more of a plan. They didn't look like a team that was running in grass that was up to your knees. They look like they had some creativity on offense. Now to the other games. I don't get why we can't have the same technology from site to site. I get it, one game's Fox, one game's FS1. They might have different cameras. But I don't think we did college football justice with Penn State, Indiana in terms of the replay angles that we had. Still does not excuse James Franklin's continual game and clock management issues. They also were not good. They had 3 missed field goals. They turned it over 3 times. You could say they got hosed, but you know what? There was a lot of time in that game where Penn State could have salted the game away. Especially, how about kneeling? Now, this was a weird weekend of football. It was bonkers football where you have 2 guys that go into the end zone that should have fallen down at the 1. I don't know. I never played running back, but that's kind of natural. You're headed to the end zone. You're not thinking about falling down at the 1. You're thinking about scoring because that's what you do. Both coaches in key moments were not great. But at least Tom Allen of Indiana in that game, he coached to win the game. He said, I got a dinner reservation. I don't want to stick around and continue to play overtime. Let's go for a 2-point conversion. It's time to go win or lose the football game. And they did. Adds to, they got something cooking in Bloomington. They're not going to ever overtake Bloomington being IU being a basketball school. But a close call, you go for it. You have faith in your team. You built up a nice little culture. You have an unlikely comeback, whether it was gifted to you or not, and you got a gift at the end of the game with Penix diving for the pylon. You'll take it. You're not looking back. The team that I might have been the most impressed with on Saturday was Michigan. Joe Milton looked good. He was mistake-free. And at the end of the day, Joe Milton is going to either extend Jim Harbaugh in Ann Arbor, or it will mean the end for Jim Harbaugh. Harbaugh has only got 2 years left on his contract. There is no other Power 5 coach in this country that only has 2 years left on his contract. We're talking about a guy that's at Michigan. Power 5, there's only one guy that has 2 years left on his contract, and that's Jim Harbaugh. Most get an extension, so they bump to three. Harbaugh hasn't gotten an extension, even though maybe there was something in the works before the pandemic. But his team looked good. They looked prepared. They looked physical. They looked more interesting offensively than I can recall since Harbaugh and Gattis have been together. They were physical at the point of attack. Their offensive line, which had to replace guys that went to the NFL, looked good, and they didn't struggle on the road. And they beat a Minnesota team that I was, if Michigan is the most impressive team out of the Big Ten this weekend, Minnesota is the most disappointing team. Whether they had specialty guys out because of COVID, you know what? They got beat up. They were inconsistent. And they showed that last year they had some magic. Remember last year they would win close games, especially early on in the year, and they would come from behind? That magic wasn't there. I didn't think Tanner Morgan was great. I think it took a while for him and Bateman to get together. But that's embarrassing for Minnesota. They didn't come ready to play. Were they affected by having no fans in the stands for a game of that high level? Yes. But they were inconsistent. They looked like they'd had a choppy return to football. Now, one loss doesn't, you know, completely ruin your season because they get Maryland. But their defense lost 5 of 6 tacklers, their top tacklers from last year. I don't think they're going to get better overnight on defense. I think they can get better on offense, but they were not prepared to play, and Michigan was. And as a result, you saw the blowout. And the other game in the Big Ten, which if I would have told you that Purdue would have no Rondale Moore and their head coach and they would beat Iowa, you would say, well, Iowa probably had 100 or more yards in penalties, and it's all about points, ma'am. Iowa rolled up some big numbers offensively, but they only scored 20 points. Their defense is still in flux. I do like their quarterback. They got two good running backs. I'm not sure what happened at the end of the game, but that's one of the rare games that Iowa was very undisciplined. And they weren't very physical either. And Purdue's David Bell, who loves playing against Iowa, he was the best player on the field. And Purdue has had success against Iowa. I think that's a bad loss for Iowa. I have Iowa winning the West. I think that was a bad loss. Iowa let that football game slip away. Iowa was the better team, but Purdue took advantage of mistakes that were made by Iowa. And primarily, when was the last time an Iowa team had over 100 yards in penalties? Interesting weekend in the Big Ten. You had Rutgers win a football game. You had Purdue win a football game. You had Indiana win a football game in the Big Ten. Does it change how we think the Big Ten's going to play out? Well, let's have this discussion a week from today. And that includes Nebraska and Ohio State. But Ohio State goes to Penn State, no whiteout. They're a 2-touchdown favorite. Michigan is over a 3-touchdown favorite against Michigan State. There could be some big, big victories this weekend. And at the end of week 2, we may look at the East and go, that's how it's supposed to be. Ohio State and Michigan are the two best teams. All right, 142. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll do some house cleaning here. We got some emails and some tweets to sift through. Sportsnet Conduct is coming up after us. I haven't seen Stibbs yet. Diehard Bronco fan. Haven't seen him. He's AWOL like his team was yesterday.